going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Oh my God, it's Monday. Isn't this great? Isn't it great to be alive on a Monday?
It's great to be alive on a Monday when your St. Louis Blues have evened the series 2-2.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Amy.
Well, I was just saying that's why it's great to be a Monday.
Well,
I'm Cardinals not going to limit to myself as to why it's great to be on a Monday.
Cardinals had a great weekend. Battlehawks had a great weekend. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Yeah. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji. Good morning to all of you. With you until 12 o'clock today. Then it's the Gas House Gang at 12. And, of course, we'll have plenty of sports to talk about then, Tom Ackerman and me. But in the meantime, it's Amy and me until 12. 314-436-7900, the phone number to join in. You can text that number too. Leave us a message on the Odyssey app. We'd like to hear from you throughout the day. And you can stream us if you want to look at us. You can do that on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, that's right. This weekend, the sports were good. The Blues get themselves back in it. They tie up the series. The Cardinals won their series. The Battlehawks won. City SC, they tied.
Well, yeah, they tied. It's a little bit un-American. But former Cardinals general manager Walt Jocketty passed away over the weekend. I'm sure you guys heard that listening to KMOX News. A lot of memories. Tom Ackerman remembered Walt Jocketty. And we, at 10 o'clock, are going to chat with Tony La Russa.
It would be great to
remember
have that.
The former Cardinals general manager.
And we are approaching the 100-day mark, which will be tomorrow, of the Trump presidency. Chris Saliza, political commentator, will join the show today. That is coming up at 11 o'clock. We are going to talk to Ron Beckley, who is the, you know who he is, Amy. He's the towel man.
Oh, the guy that throws the towels.
The guy that throws the towels. He's been doing it for years. Decades,
even. I don't remember the towel man not being there.
I don't either.
I don't think I've ever gone to a game without the towel guy there.
I did not go to a game until I was in high school, and he was there the first time I went. He will join us at 9:30. Matt Pauly will be on the show at 10:30 today. We'll talk a little sports with him.
And the towel guy is here not just to, he's not breaking down the Blues game. He's got the legend of the towel, the whole history of the towel guy.
How it started. That's right.
Yeah.
It has origins in Peoria, Illinois.
Where the Rivermen used to play.
Where the Rivermen. Do they not still?
Maybe
at Carver Arena?
Maybe they still play there. They're just not our minor league affiliate anymore.
They are, yeah. That's definitely right. It.
Well,
how about it, Amy?
It
happened.
I was holding down the fort while you were in Chicago.
Slash Michigan.
And the St. Louis Blues absolutely rocked Enterprise. And specifically, they rocked Connor Hellebuyck. Now, if you're not a hockey fan, maybe you're just tangentially watching hockey when the Blues make it to the playoffs, Connor Hellebuyck, the goalie for the Winnipeg Jets, is the far and away Vezina Trophy favorite. Vezina Trophy being the best goaltender in the NHL. He's absolutely outstanding. And the Blues are just blowing him up, Ronj.
They own him.
He hasn't let up 6 goals all season long. He let up 7 in Game 3, 5 yesterday. Six in Game 3.
Amy, own him at that building. It's something like he stops 3 out of every 4 shots. That's it. That's not good.
It's not good. So, again, the Blues win 5-1 last night at Enterprise, or yesterday, I should say, at Enterprise. This is what it reminded me of, Ronj. The way the Blues own Connor Hellebuyck in this building in the playoffs, and I tweeted this out, the only other person who can possibly understand the frustration and confusion that Hellebuyck must be feeling is Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw was just the absolute stud pitcher for the Dodgers all season long, and then he would play the Cardinals in the postseason and just get rocked. So much so that he became known as a choker in the playoffs, which I don't think necessarily is fair career-wise to him.
Yeah, it's really not.
But that's how the whole conversation is. Clayton Kershaw, does he choke in the playoffs? It's, for some reason, the Cardinals would blow him up at Busch Stadium. That's what this reminds me of.
And he got blown up at Enterprise Center over the last couple of games, yesterday afternoon being the most recent, so the series is tied at 4. They pulled him with about 16-plus minutes mm-hmm. left to go in the third period. So he had given up those 5 goals, and they took him out. I mean, just imagine what that must be like to get pulled in the playoffs after your team had taken a 2-0 lead. You know, you won both of your games at home, then you go on the road, and then you get blown up in games 3 and 4. You get pulled in both. And in the second one you get pulled in, it's 16 minutes left to go in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of time. And he went straight back to the tunnel, and there were chants, mm-hmm. people in the crowd loudly chanting, "We want Connor."
Well, while he was in, they were chanting, "Connor."
The four nations, Canada against the USA as well.
This is dumped brutal. In by Tucker around
hey,
the back
that's how it's supposed to be.
So they're chanting, "We want Connor." That was after he got pulled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal, and it was so loud. The rafters were shaking, and I didn't time it, but I would not be surprised, Ronj, if there were more Connor Hellebuyck-centric chants than there were Let's Go Blues. I think I mean, honest to goodness, it sounds like I'm making a joke. It might have been even, or maybe the crowd chanted Connor or "We want Connor" just as much as they chanted "Let's Go Blues."
And the guy went back into the tunnel, and I don't know if he came back at all, but what I do know is, you know, he comes off the ice. He goes back into the back, and usually that is what happens with a goaltender if they get pulled from the game. Maybe mm-hmm. they go collect themselves, and they come back out to the bench. And several minutes later, he still had not come back out. Darren Pang, our old friend, was on the broadcast on TNT last night, and this was what they were talking about.
And I'll ask you the question, Panger, as a goaltender yourself, what do you make of the fact that Connor Hellebuyck has not returned, even sit on the bench with his team?
Well, I mean, you're asking me? I mean, I would always be with my team. That's all.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. And obviously, Darren Pang was a goalie for a bit with the Chicago Blackhawks, played in the NHL, and love to see Panger back in St. Louis. Yes, usually, as you mentioned, a goaltender will go back, collect his thoughts, and come sit on the bench. And I don't know. I don't know that I feel strongly about this because I didn't play in the NHL. But if you are a top goalie who's on the brink, if you have not already gotten the yips, like where it's in your head,
yeah.
Do you say, "Connor, be a team player," or do you say, "Connor, do what you need to do to save yourself now because we need you in game 5?
Well, I would say that.
That's what I would say.
I don't know if it's an either or. I don't know that he would have to protect himself in order to be saved for game five.
No,
but
if he did,
mm-hmm. then I would do whatever that is. Even if it looks bad, even if it's, you know, from the outside, you're looking at it like, hey, why is he not on the bench? How come he's not supporting his team? Hey, the most important thing is not the optics. The most important thing is to get the guy right. And if him going back and laying down or whatever he had to do it would get him right for game five, then that's what you go do.
And you don't know. You don't know what happened on that bench. You don't know that the Jets, that the captain didn't say, hey, go do your thing. We've got this.
Yeah.
Because that could very much happen. Goaltenders are notoriously insane and finicky. You can kind of compare them to starting pitchers. That's what they are technically, but I would say maybe it's just hockey lore. Maybe I'm just more familiar with the sport, but they are, man, goaltenders are a different breed. Obviously,
they're kind of like, you know, you likened them to Clayton Kershaw. They're like a little like starting pitchers.
Yeah. And there's that, the mental game is such a fine line. A lot of goaltenders do not talk to the media on game day, right? You just know they're not going to talk. They have their routine. And that routine, especially in the playoffs, when you are a goaltender, it's not just once you get to the rink. It is at home. It is on the road. It is in your hotel room. Your teammates know when to talk to you, when not to talk to you, when you're going to your room, when you're going to eat. It's like a thoroughbred horse that's like so specialized, so detail oriented that I don't know. Maybe Connor Hellebuyck had to save his mental sanity. Sitting there as the top goaltender all season long, getting absolutely walloped, and then hearing we want Connor just being mocked. I don't know.
Well,
I think you got to do what your team wants you to do.
Yeah, but you got to get right because you're the guy.
You're the guy.
And you're going to start game five. So whatever you have to do to get yourself ready, and he's got, what, 2 days to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are an extra 2 days off.
By the way.
Do whatever you have to do. If you're him, you know, from his perspective. It would be nice, though, if the Blues come out in game five and they score early.
So,
because that could, and I'm not saying I want the guy's career to be ruined. But this is sports. It's sports, and you have to perform. And if you're the Blues, you want to win. You want to win the series. So if you demoralize him, you do it as quickly as possible, and then maybe you're off and running.
Well, and right now, it's not just Hellebuyck that's demoralized. The Jets, in that third period, looked absolutely defeated for the entire third period. And I will say this, in Game 3, the Blues came out so fast. The Jets looked so flat-footed. They didn't know what hit them. In game 4, I thought the Jets came out pretty strong, and their defense really was boxing out the Blues in the neutral zone and the offensive zone. For the first half of the first period, I felt like the Blues could not get any momentum breaking out of their own zone, carrying the puck through the neutral zone. They were slow. They had some offsides called. I thought, okay, the Jets have adjusted. But the Blues then adjusted even more, somehow penetrated the Jets' defense, and once they did that, the Jets fell apart, and the last two-thirds of yesterday's game felt very similar to Game 3, where the Jets just looked a little shell-shocked, to be honest. And so, it is a team. A goaltender really does set the tone for a team. Jordan Binnington absolute nails, stood on his head. That gives a team confidence to play aggressive in front of him. And I think Hellebuck's struggles really did ripple down to the rest of the bench.
And what did I tell you before game 3? Must win. They had to win.
I said it was a really
It was a must
really
win.
Need to.
Must win.
It was
and
a really
they won
to.
It. And here we go. Now we got a series. And this is sort of the flip of what happened the last time these two teams played in the playoffs. As we mentioned before, the road team won each of the first four games, and now the home team has won each of the first four games of this series.
Interesting. Quick
Back
note.
In 2019, I'm talking about.
Yeah. Quick note, I was talking to the Winnipeg media, and I said, how's Winnipeg doing? This was before last night's game, so the Jets are still up 2-1. He said the city is freaking out. They they have like PTSD from previous years' playoff losses, which we had too. We had that for years, the Blues did. They said they absolutely were devastated. We're freaking out. We're thinking this is the beginning of the end. They were still up 2-1. And again, I get it. I get it. That's what happens when you have early exits from the playoffs, when you're really strong in the regular season. So I'll be interested to see how that crowd is on game five.
When one thing goes wrong and you've had a history of things going wrong, if one little thing happens, as a fan, it makes you think, okay, here we go.
Here we go again.
Here we go. Even if you're still in a good position, you think, this is it. This is the beginning of the end. And maybe that's what they're thinking now, but they got a couple of days to think about it now.
Yeah.
And maybe they do get themselves right. So if you're the Blues, you cannot go into Winnipeg and think, all right, we're gonna take the next two. Yeah, because you may not. You got to be very careful when you go up there.
With the mentality is we're going to take it to them in their own building. Like, you got to come out aggressive.
It's Amy Marks, Coors. I'm Chris Ronji. Join the show, 314-436-7900. Odyssey app, voice messages, drop them there. Chris and Amy show. By the way, Towel Man, Ron Beckley will join us at 930 here on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, it wasn't just the Blues who had a good weekend.
No.
Cardinals did.
The Cardinals did. I will say, I saw the one bummer of a game.
Yeah, yesterday.
You know how like Matt Pajeski was Mr. St. Louis a week or two ago? I was Miss St. Louis yesterday. Blues game, then hustled on over to Busch Stadium and went to the Cardinals game, caught the rest of the Cardinals game. Quick note before we get into the series. Yesterday in downtown St. Louis was fun, and the city looked beautiful, and it was so fun to see everybody down there. And Saturday was the marathon, so it was fun, and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people were downtown. It's pretty. With the arch, going from Enterprise to Busch Stadium looking at the arch, it's a pretty cool town.
Yeah. We just need more people to
we
be
need
down
more people,
here.
Because it's fun when there were people everywhere in Cardinals jerseys and Blues jerseys, even seeing the remnants of the marathon, like the barricades or maybe a tent, was kind of fun because it was an event. It was the vestiges of an event that was just there. So anyway, that was great. Bit of a bummer yesterday, but hey, the Cardinals win the series.
They did win the series, and they did it against a team they're going to have to worry about, which is the Milwaukee Brewers. And I suppose the next team they play, they're also going to have to worry about a little bit, because if you look at the standings now, which you can't look, it's we're not even to the end of April yet. We're not past April yet, I should say. But if you do look at where the teams in the division are at the moment, the Cubs are still in the lead. The second place team now is the Reds, and that's where the Cardinals are going to be tonight. They have got to start playing way better on the road. Way better on the road.
Yeah.
They are one of the worst road teams in baseball so far this season. Only the Rockies and... Actually, that's it. It's the Rockies.
The Rockies. They're tied.
Rockies
with the Padres.
Are the worst. The Cardinals are 2-11 away from home, which is pretty bad. I mean, they've played well at Busch Stadium. They've got a good record at home. They're 10-5, so that's that's even better than what you can expect to be for a full season. They got to be better at home or on the road. They have to. You cannot give up 90% of your games when you leave town. And that's what's happened so far. So when they play in Cincinnati, it's the first of four tonight. They're going to have to do a whole lot better. It isn't going to work. If they're going to even try to win this division this year, got to be better away from home.
It is weird to me because I get it, home field advantage and so forth. But it doesn't make sense to me to be 10-5 at home and 2-11 on the road. How is it such a disparate outcome?
I think it's flukish.
Because it feels flukish. It doesn't make sense. You can't be a fundamentally terrible team on the road, right?
Good teams are good teams. So they're probably going to have winning records at home and on the road, though the records at home might be slightly better, just as a matter of comfort. That's usually what happens. Mm-hmm. And it could be that early on in the season, maybe the schedule away from home is a little tougher.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, I think that could be it. They played at New York. They played the Mets, you know, in New York. They played in Atlanta. They mm-hmm. played in Boston. They did play in Pittsburgh. But like some of those series are pretty tough series. So yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. But by the end of the season, the records from the home and away records should not be so completely different like they are right now.
Yeah.
That is a fluke.
No, it is. It's interesting. The Dodgers and the Mets, obviously two high payroll teams, good teams, are crushing it at home. The Mets only have one loss this year at home. They're 12-1.
Yeah, killing
at home. That's pretty impressive.
So Cardinals need to get it together starting tonight, and hopefully they will do just that. Matt Pauly has the pregame show at 4:45, so it's an early game today, and they will have Eric Fetty pitching tonight's ball game against old friend Jose Quintana. Oh, no, that was yesterday.
That's
I'm
your
sorry.
Friend.
He is a great dude. So it's Andre Pallante tonight. Oh. Sorry. And he will go against Nick Martinez. That's the pitching. I was looking at yesterday's matchup.
We'll also have to ask Matt Pauly. We're talking to Matt Pauly at 10:30. We'll have to ask him about the Battlehawks fan that got slapped.
Dude!
He got slapped in the face by a Michigan Panthers player who happens to be
Puka Nacua's brother.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was a very proper slap. Well, like the flat hand, like I say.
Open hand slap, yeah.
Yes, open hand slap.
I can't wait to find out what happened there. We will talk to Matt Pauly at 10:30, as Amy mentioned. But when we come back, we are going to talk to Towel Man. Ron Beckley joins the show about how this all started. How the whole towel thing started. There is a history behind it. Believe it. We'll talk about it next on KMOX.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, the St. Louis Blues are in business, baby. We'll have to wait a couple of days before they get to Game 5 against the Winnipeg Jets. They are tied at 2, and we are looking forward to that. And we are also looking forward to this conversation we're about to have with the Towel Man. Ron Beckley is joining the show. And Ron, first of all, thank you for being with us today. How are you doing?
My pleasure. My pleasure. I'm doing great.
Did you run out of towels this week?
I had to, like, build the bag up. Yeah, we went through quite a few, but that's a good thing.
How many towels do you usually bring to a game?
7.
Okay. Well, if Hellebuck starts, we're probably going to need more towels.
Oh, good Lord.
That's a good problem to have, yes.
So you were telling us that you there is a whole history behind the whole towel thing and how it started, and it started upstate Illinois. And there were a couple of guys who were part of that who were in town recently. Do you want to tell us how this all went down and how the tradition began?
Well, sure. This is the 35th season that I've been doing this, which it still boggles my mind too, that I'm still doing it, but I love it. It's great. And, it was 35 years ago. We took a trip to Peoria. A priest friend of mine, Monsignor Midas, And we on our way up there, this was the year that Twist, Chase, Nelson Emerson were still playing in the minors, and Bob Plager was coaching, and they were having a fantastic year. I believe they won the Turner Cup that year, but they won 18 straight games, and we went up to watch a game. And the first 1, 2, 3 goals, this gentleman, Pete Martin, he would get up and he would take a stance and he'd wave the towel and everybody would do pretty much the same thing that we're doing. And didn't think a whole lot about the first 2 or 3 goals, but the fourth goal, the fifth goal, and the sixth goal, you've seen all 10,000 people counting and pointing at the opposing team's goalie, and you're like, that's pretty cool. So Matt Midas, he said, there's something that you could bring back to St. Louis. If anybody can pull that off, I think you could. So we brought it back, and Pete Martin and Scott Gambo were here for the game three, and I in talking with them, I found out a few little tidbits too that they actually did it for almost 10 years. Huh. And the name of their group was the Counting Crew, and there were 5 members that showed up at the games and I guess took turns and did all of that, and they got the idea or seen something similar from the University of Illinois hockey team, I believe.
Oh.
So it goes way back here. So it's just everybody puts their little spin on it and does something different. But I hear people go, "Oh, well, you stole that from Peoria," and I like to think that I honored it. So here we are, 35 years later, still doing it.
You should just be like, "Yeah, I did. So what? It works, doesn't it?"
So 35 years. Then it was the arena for a few years, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
The first, it took almost 3 years to catch on.
So what I was going to ask is, how long did it take for the crowd to get it? Were you just a guy waving a towel for a while?
Yeah, the first time I decided I was going to try and do this, I told about a dozen people, and we were in section 206. And I told about a dozen people, hey, they do this in Peoria. We're going to try and start it here. And I got called probably every name in the book. You know, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I had that bath towel, so I was hitting people in the head when I was swinging the towel, so I had to adjust that. And
a bath towel. I guess, yeah. Oh, that's so funny. That's a much bigger towel.
I would have used a bath sheet.
Yeah. Yeah, people think it started out with a wash rag and then made its way up, but that's not the way. It took about 3 years. Now, of course, back then you didn't have the likes of a Jumbotron or any of that stuff, and I only had tickets, I think, to like 12 games. We were splitting our seats with other people, so I was doing it for, you know, the games I was at, but you could see it grow from one section and then on either side. So then you had 3, and then you added 2 more, and then 5. And, but it took 3 years for it to get all the way around. But a lot of it had to do with being at every game. Cause I went from the 12 games to a half season, which was 20. And then the third season I was there every game. And I tried to get other people to do it, you know, the games I wasn't there, and nobody wanted to do it.
Well, quick question about the beginning days. Did the security or the people working the aisles ever say, hey, man, sit down, you're going to hit somebody?
Always somebody who doesn't know what's going on. So I've been told a few times, the best was when it wasn't the Enterprise, but the same building as the Enterprise. And there was a new usher, and I started to go down the count, and he grabbed the back of my jersey and said, sir, you can't do that. Please sit down. And he was holding my jersey all the way down on the glass that we counted. And it was pretty good.
So then at what point, because now the team is in on it and has been for years, the first game I went to and experienced it was 95. So you had been doing it for a few years already at that point.
89-90.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was established by that point when I saw it. So the team is in on it. They've got the bell that they ring every time you count off. When did that start? When did they approach you and say, hey, let's incorporate you into the official proceeding?
To my knowledge, I don't remember anybody approaching me and saying anything. They just kind of went along for the ride. A lot of people think that the Blues provide me with seats and towels and tickets and that's not the case. Wow. I've over the years have established where the first year, I guess the third year I was doing it when it started, everybody started catching on. Magna Bank approached me and said, hey, we'd like for you to throw our towels. And they did a little banking commercial and put me in a commercial. And they said, we want you to throw a towel every goal. I'd bring one towel and I'd wave it. And after to try and take it to another level, every time a third or fourth goal, I'd take the towel and I'd throw it back into the crowd. But I'd go retrieve it again because I didn't have an abundance of towels. And then a friend of mine who was with Reebok, he had an extra 50 towels from some promotion they were doing, I guess a golf tournament. And so he provided me with those. And then Magna got the idea to give me towels and throw them for every goal. So when we got into the new building, we had towels to be able to throw. And then from there, other people, hey, we'd like to sponsor you too. Yeah. And so over the years I've accumulated sponsors, and I'm self-employed. Graphic artists have been all my life, and so a lot of the customers and stuff that I do work for jumped on board and helped out, and it's turned into what you see today.
Wait, hold on. How many towels do you have in your house at any given moment?
Not enough.
I mean, like, do you ever get out of the shower and go, damn, I'm out of towels.
I'm out of towels.
They're in my bag for the game. When we order them, Brian Waldrop, who has a silk screening or did have a silk screening company, he because we're in the business, we help each other out, and he runs the towels for me, so we're getting to a point. I think we're going to have to expand, but we usually we'll print up about 300 towels per season, and distribute them obviously as we score, and then I have Levy Athletic. They also print me what I call replica towels. They're a little bit smaller, and those are the ones that I'm able to hand out or give out after the game or during different times. That way all my towels aren't pilfered before we score.
Ron, quick question about when you started. Were you married when you first started doing this, and what did your wife say?
I've been married for 44 years, and Mary, my lovely wife, has put up with a lot of evenings where, because she's not a big hockey fan, so
that's amazing.
And this hasn't helped.
This is my therapy. So yeah, we had stretches where obviously I have three daughters, Jessica, Abby, and Caitlin, and Jessica's the biggest hockey fan, and the other two it could take it or leave it. So the events, in fact, it's so funny because when they would meet new people, they said I'd never tell them who my dad was until after we became friends.
I love it.
Why, what would happen when they did tell him?
I love the insouciance. Just, oh, yeah.
I think they were like, I don't want him to be my friend because my dad's the towel man. I want him to be. So I'm not sure, but it there's been, some very, very funny stories.
You just
stories
like
over,
me because my
years.
Dad's the towel man.
I read that somewhere, that at one point, somebody suggested you legally change your name to Terry Cloth.
Terry Cloth, yeah. And I do use that when people come up and say, what's your real name? And I tell them Terry Cloth. And they go, oh, Terry, it's nice to meet you. And I'm like, I'm just kidding. It's not Terry Cloth.
Actually, you know what? I think when I met you in person a couple of years ago, I think you said your name was Terry. I think you told me that.
Yeah. I think for the first couple of years, I thought your real name was Terry Cloth.
Yeah.
I think I heard that. I'm like, I think his name is Terry Cloth.
Well, I grew up in a family. I have eight siblings. I have seven brothers and one sister. And the sister is the brother we feared the most. And I like to say that I'm the calm one. We like to laugh, and I'm a jokester at heart. So we... Anything for fun and laughter, we go down that path. So we have a lot of fun with it.
So how long do you think you want to do this, Ron? And if you decide you just don't feel like it anymore, is there a succession plan?
I've always said as long as I'm having fun doing it, I'm don't plan on stopping. And I'm ironic. I mean, 35 years and I'm still having fun, and it's just. It's turned into, there's just no way you can dream and say, oh, this is going to turn into this, and embrace it and have fun. And I'm very, very blessed that I have lots of good friends, and we laugh a lot. I don't see anything stopping it. But, and as far as the succession plan, I haven't thought a whole lot about that. My grandson and granddaughter, my grandson's Cameron. So I was thinking he could be, Tal Cam instead of Tal Man, but I don't know if he's got the personality for it. So I'll just let the
what about your daughter? The one who's into the blues.
I don't think that would aspire to. She's very good at photography, and okay. she's kind of taken over the advertising business, haven't really thought too much on the right person will show up at the right time. That's how I look at it.
It's a commitment too.
Yeah.
It is a commitment
is.
To do this. Yeah.
It is. I was 7 years without missing a game before COVID.
Wow.
And the years before that, I, on average, maybe I'd miss maybe 1 to 3 games a year for family events and stuff like that. But according to my wife, I didn't miss enough games. And that's okay. That's okay.
I like how your family's keeping you real down to earth here.
Yeah, they really are. They're not letting you get too ahead
They're
of yourself.
They're not letting you, getting too big of a head here.
Well, I think it's a lot of fun. I think everybody, any Blues fan loves it. It is a lot of fun to be in the building. And I think that was my first experience doing it, my first experience at a game. I was just hoping that they would score a bunch of goals so I could see it. And I love it. And we're glad you do it, and we hope you get to do it for many more years, Ron. So thank you for visiting with us today.
Well, I always say this. Everybody goes, oh, you're the biggest Blues fan, and it's everybody in that building who's paid their hard-earned money to be there is just as big a Blues fan as I am, just a little bit more recognizable. And as I say, I like for people, if you're going to go do something, go out and go be the friend you want your friends to be.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That is the St. Louis Blues towel man, Ron Beckley, with us. And when the Blues make it back to Enterprise Center, hopefully, they'll give Connor Hellebuyck a whole lot of hell.
Yep, hope he runs out of towels. I love how his family's like, oh, yeah, that's just what he does.
That's my daddy throwing the towels at the game.
It's so cavalier.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a, yeah.
Chris and Amy show on KMOX.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors. The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Ron. Amy. Oh, go ahead. I'm so excited about this, so yours better be good.
Okay, you go first.
Did you see?
No.
The Bears drafted Luther Burden.
Oh, my gosh. I did.
Receiver?
Mizzou. So, is he on the show? Today?
We're working on it. He arrived at Hallis Hall today, which is where they practice. It's their facility, their offices, and all that stuff. And he's ready to go. He is ready to go.
That's awesome.
Aren't you excited? No, this is the good one. This isn't the they stink one.
Well, I am excited for you. I'm also excited for the town of Bloomington, which apparently is sports purgatory. I learned this from my cousin, Will from Bloomington,
yes,
who said they're considered Chicago market and St. Louis market.
Yes.
So all of the games, the Cardinal games, I don't know, the Bulls games, they're all blacked out.
On TV.
Yep, on TV.
I didn't know any of that.
He said even depending on the games, Indianapolis games are blacked out. But guess what? Because Decatur, Illinois is considered the historic home of the Chicago Bears.
The Decatur Staleys.
There you go.
Yeah.
He said every sport for every city in St. Louis, Chicago, and sometimes Indianapolis is blacked out in Bloomington, except they get every single Bears game.
There you go. Well, I do know this. I worked at a station when I was in college, WJBC. It's a news talk station like this one. And we were an affiliate of St. Louis Cardinals baseball. And you'd get to hear Cardinals baseball unless there was an Illinois State game or NASCAR on Sundays.
Oh.
We got baseball got that used to really piss
booted
me off.
Booted for NASCAR? Because
I'd want to listen to the Cardinals game on a Sunday, and there'd be a stupid NASCAR race on instead of baseball.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Terrible.
Hey, I will say this. Did you know that Rivian has a big manufacturing plant in Bloomington? How did I not know that?
Well, because the Mitsubishi, I forgot what which car they were manufacturing there.
Yeah.
And I believe it's in that space now. I believe Rivian took that over.
Because, you know, Bloomington, big State Farm.
Yep.
Right? Lots of State Farm.
Headquarters.
Is it the Farm Bureau or something else is there?
Know.
But then he said, and now Rivian is taking over.
Oh. And there was a shooting at the student center last night.
Oh.
The Bone Student Center. At Illinois State.
But it was taken care of? Or?
I don't know a whole lot of details. They were looking for the guy. But it wasn't like a mass shooting kind of situation. It was just seemed like an incident.
Oh.
But, yeah, not great. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. As we mentioned earlier, the former general manager, architect of World Series baseball here in St. Louis, Walt Jocketty, passed away over the weekend. Tony La Russa joins us next on KMOX.